We all know that one person who, without fail, always turns up late to anything and everything, and that person might actually be you. Is it genuine scatterbrained behaviour, or is it just plain old rudeness? And why do some people struggle so much with punctuality? To try and answer that age-old question, we need author, a self-confessed time bender, Grace Pacey. Good morning to you in the UK, Grace.
Good morning, Karen. Great to speak to you.
And you're all ready for the office, they say. You're not running late?
I have to tell you that although we consider ourselves always late, actually we can be on time when it matters. And to me, this matters. So I'm here, ready and waiting.
All right. Before we talk about punctuality, can I just ask what your background is, Grace? How did you become an expert on chronic lateness?
Well, that's a very interesting question. I have been late all my life, and I have wanted to change my behaviour, and I have found it, well, I'm still struggling with lateness. And I've searched for the answer, and I haven't been able to find it. And that's what drove me to do my own research in order to actually put together a try to understand what is happening and why. And the truth is, I have to explain, people who are late do not want to be late. They would like to be on time. What is it about my brain that stops me doing what I want to do, which is leave home early enough to be in time? It's a mystery. And yet, I mean, you can search Amazon for anything these days, can't you? If you look at a subject like procrastination, there's thousands of books. But I could find one book called Never Be Late Again. And that didn't really solve my problem. It sort of categorized lateness into different buckets, if you like. But nobody explained why I was late. So with my, I have various psychological, qualifications, and I've just used my own experience and researching other people who I recognised had the same problem, to try and do some original thinking about what causes lateness.
All right, so it's neither scatterbrained nor rude. But we'll come to that in a moment. But the book that you're talking about is called Late, A Time Bender's Guide to Why We Are Late and How We Can Change. What's a time bender?
A time bender is my attempt to rebrand lateness, because lateness is something that everybody knows. You can just be abusive about late people. They are inconsiderate, rude, they think their time is more important than yours. We know exactly how to behave towards late people. And interestingly, even the late people, like myself, don't like other people being late. But once you start to think, if you acknowledge that those people don't actually want to be late, then maybe you could see A, that they are struggling with something that they may not deliberately do, but actually, more importantly, it's a whole package of characteristics, and there are some good characteristics in there as well. So if you get rid of the late people, you get rid of some other useful things, which I can tell you about if you want.
Yes, please.
Well, if somebody's late, they have a flexible attitude to time, and what that means is that if you say to a late person, oh, could you just help me out with whatever, they are unlikely to say, no, I'm sorry, I've got my morning planned out and I have not got any time to help you. They will say, oh, yes, of course I'll help you. So they respond, they're adaptable, so they don't have a very clear schedule that cannot be changed. It does mean that they're quite good in a crisis because, again, they can change their plans. So if you want those characteristics, particularly, I think, in business, because, again, lateness would go down as a black mark on your record, but maybe those late people have some benefits that, particularly in a time like now when, we've thrown out the rule book and we are changing so many of the ways in which we work, responsiveness and adaptability are actually quite useful characteristics.
Right, positive attributes. Okay, so, but if you, as you said, you're not late to do this interview and you're in the UK at the moment, so you're on time, so it's something that was important to you. And so you must categorize the occasions in your life to important to not so important.
Well, Karen, that was something that came out of my research, and it was quite a shock to me, because people who are late, you could say, are in denial, because we are not always late, but we are late in certain circumstances, and we tend to remember the times when we are on time. If we're going to catch a flight, go to an interview, go to a work meeting, we can be on time when it matters. But the times when we tend to slip off the deadlines are when there are social occasions, our friends and family, you know, let's meet up, you know, let's have dinner together. Those are the times when we relax and we haven't got that adrenaline pumping away and making sure we're on time. And those are the times when we're late. And the real, you know, light bulb moment for me in my research was when I realized that family and friends see me as always late. Now, I had no idea of that, and I feel terrible about it, because they are the people that matter to me the most. And when they hear me say, oh, I can be on time when it matters, that is the last message I really want to give them.
I know, because you don't matter, right? What they hear that you don't matter.
Yes, yes. And so, again, in my work, I've also been looking at ways in which we can deal with the problem, because, as I say, just simply, you know, never be late again is a good message, but it isn't that easy to follow. That we all have characteristics that we'd like to change, but we know that they're not that easy to change. So I have some advice for the people who have to wait for us.
Oh, yes.
And it's something I don't really like to tell people, because it's the opposite of what they normally do. So I don't know about you, Karen, but most people, when dealing with a late person, do the same thing. And what they do is the last thing they should do. What they do is they lie about the start time. So when, you know, Uncle Bill is always half an hour late for family dinner, you tell him it's half an hour earlier than it actually is, or you're going to, you know, you're taking, particularly if your other half, you know, your partner is always late, you're constantly looking for ways to get them on time. But that actually works the opposite way in the long term, because, again, one of the things that came out of the research, and it's a really useful thing to share, is we can be on time when it matters. Therefore, make that deadline real. So if we're late for dinner, start without us. If we're late for, you know, going somewhere, then, and I don't like to say this, but you should make us really, you should make that adrenaline really work for us by, at certain point, go without us.
Right.
Because that means that we take it seriously, and then the next time we are much more likely to be nearer the deadline. Let me put it that way. I wouldn't like to say we're going to be early, but we will be more on time. Whereas if we realize that you are fudging the deadline, we will start to factor that in, and we will then start to be later, which is the last thing you want.
Well, it's tough love in that situation with a partner or a family member who wants the person to be on time. Right. But can you talked about adrenaline. So let's say you're always late. You know that you're always late. But let's say you're getting ready for work, or you're going off to somewhere, you're going to town, and what happens in your routine that you say that, you know, where the adrenaline isn't happening? It's because there's no deadline that's been set for you, so you're just cruising around doing other stuff?
Well, that's a good way of putting it. I'm going to add another characteristic that we have, which is that we're not very good at measuring time. And therefore, we always believe that we've got a bit more time than we have, or that we can do things more quickly than we think. But the other characteristic that any of the listeners tonight who have ever experienced this themselves will know, we always try and put one thing in before we have to leave. And so for me, the classic is, you know, going to leave for work in the morning, Oh, I've just emptied the dishwasher. Well, how long does that take? People at the other end of the spectrum who have a clear awareness of time will probably tell, I mean, can I ask you, Karen, how long does it take to empty the dishwasher? Are you a time bender or a timekeeper?
Timekeeper.
Uh-huh. So you're probably feeling a little uncomfortable with me because...
No, I'm not. Actually, okay. I have to say 50-50, sometimes time bender, sometimes timekeeper.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I'd like to congratulate you because you've probably got a reasonable relationship with time. So it's not one of the things that you have to spend a lot of time being aware of. There are people at both ends of the spectrum. I'd say, again, through not just my own research, but looking at different pieces of research, about 20% of the population have struggled to be on time. It doesn't mean to say they're always late, but they struggle with being on time. At the other end of the spectrum, people are very anxious about being late, and they build in a lot of extra time to any deadline, and they will be 10 minutes early for any appointment, which I have to say makes them particularly upset with people like us because they've waited for longer than anyone else and they feel it really goes against their values to be late. So they build a lot of, well, criticism into when they look at our behaviour because they assume we are in control of time and we've done it deliberately. The sad truth is we always think we're going to be on time until we're not.
don't
plan it.
Do you have a watch, though, and clocks and things? Can't you just go, well, I've worked out that this dishwasher is going to take me about 5 minutes to unload, so I'll start doing it, you know, 10 minutes beforehand.
Well, one of the other characteristics of what I call time benders is that not only are we not good at measuring time, but we are very flexible with time. So if we have a deadline, we can do things in twice the speed that we can if there's no, or, you know, we can take all morning to get dressed if there's no deadline, and we can do it probably twice as fast as the average if there is a deadline. So we're constantly getting, you know, that's why we don't know how long it takes to empty the dishwasher. If we're expecting guests and we're in a real rush, we can do it very quickly. If we're not in a rush, it takes a lot longer. So our own experience of time makes it hard for us to know how long things take. And we get distracted. We will not just do one task. Not only that, we don't do the most important task first. We do it last. So we will often, you know, if we know there's plenty of time to do something, we'll go, oh, before I do that important thing, I'll just fit this in or that fit that in.
Is it a matter of fitting it in, or is it a matter of that thing is the most important thing? So actually, I've got to think about how this might work. Rather than fitting it in, it's you leave it deliberately to the last.
It's nothing is deliberate. It's subconscious.
Okay, right,
sadly,
right.
It's subconscious.
Okay.
But the class. Well, here's something I found. Time management is a big industry. There are hundreds of thousands of books on time management. There's consultants that make a lot of money out of it, but it works for 80% of the population. It doesn't work for time benders because time management theory is do the important and urgent things first and the unimportant things last. Well, guess what? We get up in the morning and think, oh, I'll just do this, that and the other before I actually sit down to, you know, start work or get onto my Zoom meeting or whatever it is. It's hard to explain to anybody that doesn't do that, but I'm pretty sure there's going to be some listeners out there that are going, that is me, that is a problem.
Yes, I just wanted to read you this from lots of texts coming through here, Grace. This is from Liz. My mother was always late for everything. Dad would get everyone in the car for an outing. Next thing, we'd hear the vacuum cleaner going. Exasperated, he would drive off round the block to get her moving. She could never say no to anyone who needed help. Loved by everyone, she was referred to as the late dawn. lovable folk, but frustrating to live with. I'm always punctual as a result, Liz says.
Beautiful example. Benefits in there, but maddening behaviour. Getting the vacuum cleaner out when the family is sitting in the car is one of the maddening things that subconsciously we somehow feel, we just somehow feel that at that moment it's the most important thing to do, which it isn't. We think we'll just fit it in.
Yeah, how interesting. Then she adds, she would also say, those who are always on time have not enough to do.
And we're good at abusing the other side, aren't we?
Right. And this is from Karen. Perpetual lateness is the lack of personal discipline as an ex-soldier and an ex-taxi driver. 5 minutes early for every job is on time. Try seeing any doctor at the appointed time. Huh. And that's what you said. If you were going to a doctor's appointment or something like that, you would be on time. But other than that, you just perhaps relax back into the time bending?
That's absolutely right. If the adrenaline is running because something is really important, if there are consequences for being late is actually the best way to put it. So if you are late for the airport, you miss your flight. If you are late for a business meeting, it can, you know, reflect badly on you. But if you're going to meet family and friends, there are no consequences because they forgive you. Which sadly means that therefore the adrenaline isn't running for us and therefore we're relaxed and in a very nice happy mood and guess what, we're a little late. I maybe should throw in here, I mean I've done I've got a couple of things out, there's a TED talk under, it's called Inside the Mind of a Time Bender, Why I Am Always Late. And there's also a BBC Reel video called Why Some People Are Always Late, which has got a lot of response, and particularly to the BBC Real video, a lot of people respond by saying, this is ADD or ADHD. And I'd just like to say there's a difference. People who are an hour late for something important may have a specific problem that, you know, experts can maybe help with, but really I'm no expert and that's not my area. I'm looking at the people who aim to be on time, but because, and again, I'll throw in some more results of my investigations here. One of the things we do is we are very optimistic. So we leave what we think is enough time, but we assume that all the lights will be green and that the traffic will be light and that we'll find just the perfect parking space. So when that doesn't happen, guess what? We are that 5 or 10 minutes late. The intention was to be on time, but the optimism just meant that it's very unlikely. The day we do that, we absolutely, you know, hit the steering wheel and go, yes, we made it on time.
Got it. Oh, very good, Grace. And the book, A Time Bender's Guide to Why We Are Late and How We Can Change. So thank you very much for talking to us this morning. And I hope that you're on time as much as you can.
Well, can I say one thing? Yes. People trying to find me, spelling my surname would be helpful. So P-A-C-I-E is a very good way to find me, or the word time bending. Do share some experiences because there is a lot of humour in this, as well as exasperation for both sides.
Very good. Thank you, Grace. Lovely, lovely to talk to you, and have a great day there.
Thank you, Karen. Have a good evening.
That's Time Bender, Grace Pacey. As she said, it's spelled P-A-C-E-Y.